You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We've got a packed show and we kick things off as always with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Makwe Masilela of Makwe Fund Managers to take a look at some of these movements, try and make sense of them and see where we're headed this week. Good evening, Dr. Masilela. Lovely to speak to you as always. Golden Week continues in China, but seemingly markets are still trying to settle. There's a lot that markets are processing at the moment. How was the first trading week of, or second trading week of October?
You know, not looking too bad. And evening to you and to the listeners. I mean, remember, just looking at the JSE itself, you know, for the whole of last week, I mean, the JSE still managed to go up by almost 0.2%. Unfortunately, the rent weakened 1.1%. But yeah, it's all about what is happening with the inflation numbers that are expected on Thursday in the US. But when looking to the likes of the China, the Asian markets, we're expecting the Bank of Korea, the Republic Bank of New Zealand to cut rates this week, and then the Reserve Bank of India were expected to hold the rates as well. But yes, markets are trying to digest all this, dialing back expectations on the aggressiveness of rate cuts, all these issues about what is happening in the Middle East, you know, not forgetting that the US elections, you know, are quickly nearing to happen anytime soon. So markets have a lot to digest, and not forgetting as well that we've got the earnings season kicking off is underway. We'll get the banks as well, and that has a potential as well, you know, to give the directions to the market. Markets have been looking for your catalyst, so those earnings that are starting this week will also be worth watching.
Marco, when we look at some of those US data points, last week Friday we got non-farms numbers come out. They came in surprising to the upside. Have markets kind of priced in a better, softer landing or a better solution for the US economy than the recessionary fears that were previously in?
You know, I think so far the recession fears are no longer there. And now people start to think that, listen, probably the momentum will continue. As you said, you know, the numbers were stronger than expected. And that itself, I guess, reassured investors who had been concerned that the economy was weakening. And yes, the data will likely shape the expectations around the size and pace of the rate cuts. And not forgetting as well that we'll be having the minutes out of the U.S. Central Bank to be published as well. So markets say, listen, the healthy U.S. job market is concerned about the economic slowdown, but also, Jimmy, blunted the prospects of another jumbo interest rate cut.
We're certainly not expecting that rate cut to be more than 25 basis points, but we'll welcome it if it is. Marco, let's move to some local developments. I saw Sen's announcement from Richmond. They're finally getting rid of that wine app business. Is this a good time for that?
Yeah, I guess so. Remember, the guys have been looking to sell the business, and we know end of last year, the planned sale to Farfetch collapsed as Farfetch was bought by a South Korean e-commerce giant. And yes, the guys are hoping to achieve operational advantages and greater efficiency. And we know that MyTeresa is a digital platform for the operation of luxury brands such as your Dolce & Gabbana, your Gucci. So Richmond's online fashion and accessory business has been struggling, and Richmond will anyway hold 33% stake in this German e-commerce business, and the guys will also have a board, a chair, seat as well, and also an observer. And remember, the sale includes a cash of almost 555 million euros, and Richmond will also provide almost 100 million revolving credit facility.
That's a very interesting deal. As you're saying that, I'm rereading the sense as well, and it makes me wonder, I mean, to get an asset off your balance sheet like YNAP that has no debt, effectively, no financial debt at least, and to then still go and finance that business could be a very interesting approach from a Richmond that is known for its luxury. I mean, you'd think that they'd want to have a business like this internal, but this is certainly an interesting way forward. Is this something that we could potentially see other businesses look at to say maybe some assets are not worth keeping on our balance sheet, but being a service provider of sorts still?
Remember, the business has been struggling, not doing that great. And now damaging with people who specialize, you know, when it comes to operating those kind of digital platforms. And as we said, they'll continue to have a stake. So I'm helping you, that I'm also going to give you a revolving credit. And on top of that revolving credit, remember, I'll also be earning an interest as well. So it's not a grant.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, certainly. Let's move on to some other local developments. I mean, the likes of Harmony and AngloGold Ashanti both finishing the day in the red. Gold prices not really moving too much. Are those gold price pressures starting to weigh in on our gold counters or our gold miners?
I think they are. You know, remember, they're also nursing that tumble from record highs as strong U.S. job numbers fueled bets on a smaller interest rate cut. And one or the other, gold traders, they are out there looking for an excuse to try to take some profits. As we know that we were taught that things don't go up in a straight line. But hey, things can still go up in a straight line. But, you know, we just start to panic and expect some corrections here and there. So I think the minute they see gold prices going up the way they've been going up, it is kind of expected that something must give for now so that at least people can take some profit. So I think it's all at the back of what is happening with the gold price, which we know that is under pressure because we've seen the yields, especially the 10-year yields going up in the US, and that itself has been helping the US dollar as well, you know, to look kind of decent. And these things, anyway, they're priced in dollars, so a stronger dollar makes it unaffordable for holders of other currencies to be able to buy the likes of the euro metal.
Marco, speaking of that stronger dollar and speaking of the developments that are playing out in the world, you touched on a couple of things at the start of our chat around some data points that are coming out this week, and we're starting to get back into that earnings season. Obviously, this is probably going to be the last round of earnings for the year, at least ahead of the US election. Are you optimistic at the moment around just how you're seeing geopolitical issues and market conditions? Understanding, of course, that things like the Middle East don't look like they're going to be de-escalating anytime soon. But is there reason for optimism within the markets at the moment still?
You know, there was, you know, but with this tension escalating, it seems that it's going to be tempering with our hopes about the improved global economic outlook. As we've seen, the data has been just decent. But yes, we've seen the German factory activity is not looking that great, showing that the paymaster when it comes to the European Union is also struggling. But Jimmy, we're hopeful because remember, these interest rate cuts, if they continue to materialize, we still have to see the benefits of that when it comes to the main economy. But now all these geopolitical tensions, I think, is starting to make people to continue to be cautious, and not forgetting that the Russia and Ukraine issues, that's still on our radar screen, and they continue to escalate almost every hour.
What does this mean for the Rand? I mean, I'm looking at the Rand's performance at the moment. It's holding its ground against the other majors. It is a bit more volatile against the US dollar, obviously, owing to some US dollar strength there as well. But are we still optimistic that the Rand is going to continue to show strength going into 2025? I mean, this year has certainly been a roller coaster of a ride.
I think most of the economic data locally have already been baked into the rent itself. The likes of load shedding no longer be there. The improvement and the efforts been made when it comes to sorting out our ports. The issue here will continue to be the US dollar will probably, if these geopolitical tensions continue to escalate, been used as a hedge against stuff like that. So that can ultimately be negative when it comes to the rent itself if people start rushing into the US dollar. But also not forgetting the stimulus that was introduced by China itself. If people get to be convinced that at least this time around the stimulus will work and we see demand for commodities going up, firming commodity prices, the rent also stands a chance to benefit, you know, in a positive way from firmer commodity prices, as we know that it's a commodity currency. So I think it's going to continue to be influenced by stuff like that.
Marco, before I let you go, that commodities conversation, we've had it before in the past, and we've looked at whether or not there's some merit around the Chinese demand story returning. And I'm guessing, and I'm being optimistic to say that we are hopeful to see a return to a commodities, but it's unlikely we'll see that super cycle of 2021 again anytime soon, don't you think?
It is unlikely, but what we know, the Chinese government, this is the last quarter, the Chinese government, they don't want to miss their growth target. So personally, I think they'll put in the necessary efforts in this last quarter to make sure that the economy grows and to help them to be able to meet the target. And remember, the very same target for 2024 is the very same target they had for 2023, meaning they realize that it's not easy, you know, to be able to have a growth of 5%. So my opinion is that the guys will do whatever they have to do. Maybe one can say they've left it too late, you know, to come with all this bazooka stimulus. But if really it gets to hit the main economy, then definitely there might be some demand of those commodities. And we can still see commodities just doing okay, not necessarily shooting out of the lights.
That last big push into the final quarter of the year. It's going to be an interesting quarter. We've got US elections and a whole bunch of other things to contend with. But for now, we'll leave it at that. Makwe, thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Makwe Masilela, fund manager at Makwe Fund Managers, joining us to reflect on some of the market movements as well as what sentiment might be thinking.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.